go. Doing a little checking here during the brief, all too brief intermission. All right, Jeff and Erica back again to wish all of you well and hope many of you got over Monday's program. I got email. Monday Night Fright was one of them. If you haven't heard it, it's up at the top on the right-hand side, right below the spike protein graphic. You'll see it, and below that is the video we alluded to during that hour, and you can look at that. I would urge you to. Then there's the Swedish study. I would urge you to look at that. We really want you to have the best information, and we answered a lot of questions. I don't want to replicate that tonight. I think we did a thorough job Monday. It'll knock your socks off with revelations and information that you have not seen anywhere else. You haven't. This was really a big one Monday. And we're going to move into another area here or two tonight. Are you there, young lady?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Well, you sound like you just got up after a six-hour nap.
No, not really.
Yeah. All right. What are your thoughts as you look back on Monday night's revelatory program, which it really was? It was a remarkable program.
Well, it's nice to have that Swedish study confirming what we have been
saying,
speculating about now for 9 months, probably. And that's very dire. This is an insidious process, this amyloidosis that can occur upon exposure to the spike protein. And to have this happening throughout the body is doesn't bode well, because there's really, once that process is initiated, whatever the trigger is, in this case it's the spike protein, it doesn't stop.
You said may happen with the spike protein. I would say that we both agree that it does happen with the spike protein. To what degree, we don't know. But it is built into the spike protein. And I'll repeat one thing. There are seven, what would we call them? Seven little docking particles that were built into this, this protein. What do you call them?
Sequences of peptides. Yeah, sequences. There are sequences,
okay,
of
seven different sequences, right?
Regions on the spike protein. But the spike protein, remember, it comes in two parts, and it has to be split to expose those regions.
Right. What splits
it?
What cleaves it? What cleaves it? What splits it?
There's an enzyme in the body that's present that can cleave it.
Okay, and once
and
it is cleaved,
it's present in high amounts when the body is inflamed.
Okay, and once it is cleaved, and if you have an inflammatory process going on in your body, you're going to crack those spike proteins open, and there are seven sequences exposed now, which can grab a great majority of the proteins that come by it and cause them to immediately misfold. Don't think brain. Oh, think brain, but think everything. Think from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. It can happen and does happen anywhere. And this is a bad one. So it's all in Monday's program for you. And I honestly talked to a very accomplished doctor today, and he missed the program and he couldn't wait to hear it, because it's not something that medicine really spends an awful lot of time talking about, especially to the patients. They don't explain it. They just say, amyloid plaque, amyloid plaque. And what the hell does that mean to people? Nothing.
It doesn't seem to me as though most doctors are on the lookout for this. When people present with just these vague symptoms of not feeling well, and they're running up all these different tests, MRIs, and the testing is so extensive. I think they're missing this in a lot of cases. The symptoms are kind of vague at first, but they can manifest as gastrointestinal issues. balance issues, vision issues, hearing issues, heart issues, and certainly clotting. The clotting is probably the most obvious one.
Sky's the limit. But we must underscore this. The clotting is not traditional blood clotting. Understand,
correct.
You'll hear it in the program. These are amyloid clots. That's why the clot you may have seen in the video being pulled out of that deceased man's leg or woman's leg was 3 feet long and looked like gray, yellowy rubber. That's what amyloid clots look like wherever they occur in your body. And you are being rubberized, as Erica said.
They don't break down. That's the thing. They do not break down. Your body, if they're at very, very low levels, yes, the body can deal with it. There is a mechanism in place for the body to dispose of misfolded proteins. But in this case, when people have been injected with something that's forcing their body to make copious amounts of a protein that can cause this process and nonstop, this is dire. It's absolutely dire. I mean, essentially, every spike protein is a seed or a initiating trigger for this process to happen in any number of organs, any number, heart, liver, kidney, brain.
Anything you can name.
Lungs. And I look at the range of symptoms that people are reporting after these injections, and there's reason to suspect this may be happening. If everything else is negative, so to speak, I would not rule this out. Now that we've got the confirmation from the Swedish study that it does happen. There's 7 sites on that cleaved spike protein where this can happen or it can initiate this process.
And it doesn't stop. Okay? Think of dominoes falling over. That's the kind of image you want to have.
Folding chairs is a good one.
Okay, but it's all in Monday's program, and it starts out with about 10 minutes on monkeypox, and then we move into the amyloidosis, amyloid plaques issue, which is an enormous issue that has not gotten any real press. And we pushed it out there, and hopefully you'll all share it so people will understand. If they go into the hospital and they have a clot or clots and they get heparin and it doesn't work, which is a traditional medicine to give clots and clotted patients, you'll understand why. Because the clots are not made of blood. They're made of misfolded proteins. Okay? That end up in little teeny threads stuck together, and then they group together in bigger groups of little teeny threads, fibrils, and then they turn into a rope for all intents and purposes. And, of course, this is all scaled down to your veins and arteries and capillaries, but there's nothing you can do about it. So it's all in the program Monday, and the video is up there. Please avail yourself of that knowledge. So you'll understand that when you are in a supermarket full of people, you don't want to be standing next to unknown people breathing on you. We're going to spend more time on transmission in the near future. Okay? So a mask and social distancing is not stupid. It is, in this case, turned out to be something that could save your life, potentially. All right. It's all there in Monday's program. Now, monkeypox. Let's see where we are. Although scientists rarely spot monkeypox outside of the 11 countries in Africa that have reported cases, a recent outbreak has led the disease to be identified in a dozen European countries, along with the U.S., Australia, Canada, and Israel. How many cases do you think so far have been confirmed? Just guess. I know you're smart. You'll make a good guess, but
I think a couple hundred.
160. And
okay.
Look at the press. Look at the panic. Look at the fear. Look at the talk about the vaccine. Monkeypox, there are two known strains of it in Africa. In Eastern Africa, we'll call it strain one, has a 10% fatality rate. The Western Africa strain, we'll call it strain two, has a 1%, one out of 100 will die, 1%. Now, we don't know how many people have died from this breakout configuration of monkeypox. Is it a third strain? I don't know. We don't know. They're trying to blame it now on homosexual sex. It's a direct skin contact transmission. That's what it is. But at least 150, rather make it 160 confirmed cases of monkeypox have been reported this month in non-African countries by global health agencies. Okay? So it's nothing.
I've seen some reports that they are starting to submit, that they're starting to sequence the viruses. They've got samples from these patients who are infected, and they're doing the full genome sequence and right. comparing it to what's in current databases. And if we can believe what they're saying, these don't appear to be anything that have been manipulated.
So they're one of the two strains coming out of Africa, so to speak, okay?
Correct.
And if they came from the Canary Islands, you want to keep in mind the Canary Islands are about a couple hundred miles offshore of Africa, maybe? So there's a lot of transit, all right? So it could have come from West Africa, which would have been the lighter weight strain, one out of 100 dead, and it allegedly burst out of the Canaries among homosexuals who went down there to have a big party.
Yes, that's the story I'm hearing. And they're saying now that they're already seeing some divergence in the virus, which is strange. I mean, DNA viruses tend to be very stable. They don't mutate like the RNA viruses do, certainly not as frequently. This may just be the consequence
of
the past 2 years.
Yes,
the
AIDS.
Way that people were forced to. Well, there's that in there, certainly. We have a lot of immune suppressed people now. And we've introduced a synthetic gene that any virus could pick up, and a gene that's also messing with people's immune systems, or the product of which is messing with people's immune systems. I think things like this are going to be frequent now. How serious they're going to be remains to be seen. But I don't find it a surprise that they've got a vaccine ready to go and they've got a therapeutic ready to go.
Couple of these pills a day, roll up your sleeve, we'll shoot you right up with an mRNA-based monkeypox vaccine. Or whatever, you'll be fine. We'll make billions more. A lot of you will die, but don't worry about it. No problem.
Let's not forget our little tabletop exercise.
I was getting to that.
Which?
Go ahead.
Okay.
That's big. Yeah. No, go ahead. That's a good one.
Well, it seems to be playing out according to their plan. Mid-May of 2022, there's an outbreak of monkeypox. And then for whatever reason, it seems to fade from the news until January of 2023, when all of a sudden it's at pandemic levels. All over the world, all kinds of people are infected, and this version of it doesn't respond to a vaccine or any therapeutics. And
tell our listeners how... Our dear friends, how it may be that monkeypox has, maybe it's been spread in a relatively normal way, but it never makes its presence known because people are immune competent. And all of a sudden we've got hundreds of millions, if not a billion or two people who are sliding into AIDS immunocompetency. They have no immunological function left. So why wouldn't monkeypox all of a sudden establish itself and do what it does in Africa, where those people are terribly undernourished and don't have good immune competence? Now all of a sudden in the Western world, people who have gotten shot up have seen their immune systems, although most of them don't know it, virtually wiped out. So as Erica just said, this may well be one of dozens of things we're going to see pop up in the next year or two among the immunosuppressed, those people who have been given AIDS through the injection of the so-called COVID vaccine, which is a bioweapon, which was designed to destroy your immune system.
Yeah, that's right. And let's not forget, there are multiple vaccines in clinical trials right now that involve using viral vectors of varying types, some of which are pox virus vectors, known as vaccinia. That's a favored one, and that's in the pox family, to deliver, well, in one case, the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. The consequences of using this type of technology rather indiscriminately for these trials, and then, with each subsequent trial, it gets expanded to a bigger group of people, and then next thing you know, it's authorized for emergency use. I think this is going to be a disaster. There's going to be pseudoviruses and chimeric viruses of all types mixing and matching.
They won't even have names.
Injecting this into people. I don't know if that's some of what we're seeing here.
Here, Mike Whitney is a pretty good writer.
They're genetically modifying viruses and by extension genetically modifying the human organism. We don't live in a vacuum. We all have to adapt to this.
Let me touch on this for just a minute. Mike Whitney is a good writer. He wrote an article today. He says, I'm going to go out on a limb and say there is zero chance that this new monkeypox occurred naturally. Now, this is his opinion, and he's usually well worth reading and considering. And he says, what do you think the chances are that an oddball affliction like monkeypox could spontaneously break out in 10 different locations around the world where it had never appeared before at the exact same time? How about zero chance? Or is that too high? What if monkeypox is not, in fact, a naturally occurring virus, but merely the next phase of a relentless war on individual freedom and the basic institutions of modern civilization? Bill Gates' prediction that the world would face an unexpected smallpox outbreak is miraculously unfolding. Should we be surprised? I know I'm not. Here's the money quote that was delivered by Gates 6 months before the first case of monkeypox was reported. Quote, it'll take probably about $1 billion a year for a pandemic task force at the WHO level, which is doing the surveillance and actually doing what I call germ games, where you practice, you say, okay, what if a bioterrorist brought a smallpox to 10 airports? You know, how would the world respond to that? What an intellect this guy is. It just gets crazy. Whitney says, one can only marvel at Gates' extraordinary powers of perception. He's like some kind of software soothsayer able to divine the future from the entrails of animals. Is that it? Or does he have a crystal ball tucked away somewhere in the bowels of his Lake Washington mansion? Whatever it is, it's truly astonishing. And here's more. He goes on to quote him, but I'm not going to. Look, I think the idea that known viruses and bacteria are going to mutate, are being mutated, if for no other reason than they're all of a sudden existing in a human body which has no immunological competence left and it can do damn well what it pleases. There'll be other things involved. Then there are what Erica said so long ago, chimeric versions of these things, which are bacteria or viruses which pick up other components from other bacteria and viruses, and presto, voila, you've got a new organism, a new disease pathogen. So it's open season on humanity. Does that sum it up?
Yeah, and I'm not one to live in fear or panic, but it's obvious there's a depopulation agenda going on, and I think you'd be remiss not to pay attention to some of this stuff and take precautions. It doesn't mean you're giving in or.
No.
But until this gets under control, you've got a bullseye on your back. Why make it easy for them?
Monkeypox. Next week, what's next? There's another article out, pretty good. The mystery of monkeypox's global spread. 10 different countries, almost instantaneously the same. Initial genomic sequencing suggests the virus has not mutated to become more transmissible. Hasn't. So what explains its unprecedented rise across the world? Well, you read on. The article's up there.
This program for any length of time, you'll know.
We're going to go through the break, Todd.
History.
Thank you.
Is now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually
all
the
right.
whole North.
Maybe
Pacific
he left
ocean,
the studio.
Especially up and down.
Keep
the
going,
West
Erica.
Coast.
I don't know.
Radiation is migrating inland and is moving.
All right, here. Let me do just a little bit of this, just to give you an idea. There are people asking good questions. Moritz Kramer, when Moritz Kramer first heard about the new monkeypox outbreak spreading through the UK, Europe, and the US, it was not through conventional scientific channels or from the UK Health Security Agency, but via Twitter. As each suspected case was reported and infectious disease experts shared their theories on real time, Kramer, an epidemiologist at the University of Oxford who specializes in modeling the spread of infectious diseases, became increasingly concerned. We realized that this outbreak, he said, was unusual in its geographic expansion, with some clusters not linked to travel. So that was the big part that perplexed him the most. So we need answers for these things. But I think Erica summed it up. The monkeypox is just the first. I think you got a freight train full of this kind of thing coming down the tracks at the immunosuppressed, which is potentially 4 or 5 billion people already.
And Ebola is back in the news.
Yeah, I missed that.
Ebola, I think, fourth case confirmed in I'm not going to attempt to say that. Someplace in Africa.
Oh, Mudong, Africa. I know the place. Go ahead.
There's going to be no end to this. No end to it. They're determined to get a needle into everyone's arm for one reason or another. So this is going to dominate the news. You know, how serious do we take it? I don't know. You know, as long as there's people willing to take a needle on blind faith, who knows what they're injecting them with, and these things shed.
I think we have to be very careful. We have to be vigilant. We have to watch. And if these things roll down the pike like I think they're going to, we're going to be pretty busy tracking a lot of things that may only have 140 cases. But if the media wants to play it up and beat the drums of fear, it will.
Yeah, and let's not forget these. What happened with the childhood hepatitis cases that were practically exploding before this?
Sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about. What are you talking about? Silly. Never
heard of
such
thing. You know, a lot
of
this could be to get people's attention off of the carnage from these injections and put it onto the next thing coming down the pike.
I agree. They have done so much damage with these bioweapon injections. You haven't begun to see the worst of it.
It's awful. It's awful. I shudder to think where we're going to be a year from now with the disabilities. People are now going blind from these shots.
I think we know. We have a good guess. We have a good guess why, too. Go ahead, please.
Well, these neurological issues don't seem to be resolving. I mean, sometimes they ebb and wane only to be replaced with something else, more severe. Some of these people cannot work now. They are so disabled, much less drive. You know, they have balance issues, vision issues, hearing issues, brain fog. I'm hearing a lot about falls, just people stumbling, tripping, getting dizzy, falling over, and hurting themselves that way.
Guess what? I have a friend who has a very good friend who has been vaccinated and was in his new home and fell down a flight of stairs just a couple days ago. Falls. Yes. Falls, I think, are happening all over the place. And I also think that many people who are beginning to have amyloidosis in one area or a dozen don't feel good. How could they? And they're staying home, and they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to even think that maybe they made a mistake taking that shot, because that would have to upset their entire life experience. Trust your government. It will do no harm. Your government will protect you. Doctors are only here to do no harm and protect. Au contraire, many of them are here to make money.
Yep, they've sold us out. I think this, with this amyloidosis that is presumably happening, wherever the spike protein went, whatever organs it ended up in, you know, it's a seed for this process to begin. And it may be several months before the first symptoms become truly noticeable. We're a year out approximately for the first round of people that got their vaccine, maybe a year and a half in some cases, but it would now start to become obvious or noticeable if this process was underway. But again, I don't know how many doctors are actually looking for this, realizing that this is a potential.
So again, the spike protein, so complex, so sophisticated in its assemblage and its design. I don't know how much testing they did. They did it. You know how much they did? They did as much testing as they wanted to. They just tested it in Africa or South America or somewhere. They didn't care. And then its deployment. It's been deployed. It was deployed on us. White, Western, Christian, Western European nations, the U.S., you know the game. We're the first target of the globalist genocide of planet Earth. And that's the truth. And if you know how many are coming across the border, Biden's border, what border? The invaders? They're not giving them shots. None of them. So, what does that tell you? Obviously, the shots don't work. And secondly, they don't want these people to suffer from the bioweapon that shot is. They want these people to survive for some reason. Third world populace in a formerly first world nation, they're not getting shot up, these people. They're being flown to airports all over the country where those great big white super buses are waiting for them, and they take them away from the airport, and we don't know where they go, but they're being inserted, they're being sown like little malignancies all over this country. Millions of them.
Yeah, well, we're seeing it here, too. I'm noticing it more and more.
What are you seeing?
The white buses, yeah, I've seen those for a while. But now you're starting to see it, you know, within the population. There are a lot more of these people than there have ever been.
Oh, you've seen the white buses rolling around then, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, we have an Air Force base here where these transport planes come in under cover of darkness, and these white buses are waiting to take them away. Several people have seen it. I don't know where they go. If they go to motels or warehouses, gymnasiums, I don't know.
Well, sooner or later, they're going to be virtually everywhere. We have to remember that before this all started, they were anywhere, depending upon your source, depending upon who you want to believe, anywhere from 25 to 45 million illegals in this country that have come in the last 5 to 10, 15, 20 years. And now Biden let in 200,000 in, what was it, 6 weeks? Something like that. It's just no border. You see, you see what's happening, and these people are not getting shot up, so they're not going to end up with AIDS. They're not going to die like all the Americans who took these bioweapon shots will end up having to face. But they're bringing what in? What are they bringing in beside human beings? Third world. They're bringing in disease factories. They're bringing in bioweapons. These people who are coming in here on these planes, paid for by you, American taxpayers, and bussed at your expense into your towns, they have diseases. Tuberculosis, Hansen's, which is leprosy, Chagas. There's a long list. And what happens when those people who have still an immune system are all of a sudden mingling with the majority in this country, 80%, who have gotten shot up and have no immune system to fight off these things? What's going to happen is you're going to see tuberculosis back. Remember that. And many other things as well. No, I know Chagas is not a transmissible disease. I understand that. But the point is, these people are coming in here sickly, sickish, and they're going to spread. Whatever it is they have to give, they're going to spread it. And they're going to spread it to people who have, in many cases, no immune system to fight it off.
Well,
this is all planned.
You know,
all planned.
The overcrowding, the lack of hygiene. You know, a lot of these people are coming from places where there's no plumbing.
They don't have running water. They don't have toilet paper. No.
So the whole concept of cleanliness is foreign to a lot of them, and that's no exaggeration. I know people that have worked with these refugees, and it's a chore to educate them on how to care for themselves.
Well, in many cases, I think it was Chicago, the Africans they bring over here, they pick them off the streets, pick them up right off the streets. You're going, they'd stick a wad of hundreds in their pocket, bring them to the airport, fly them over here, put them in these tenements or high rises, whatever, and they would miss the toilet. How's that?
They would
go on the floor next to the toilet. They'd tear the toilets out and they'd sell off the copper tubing. You understand? This is what's going on, and worse. This whole thing is an intricate plan to take our nation down. And virtually 90% of those alleged politicians in Washington are complicit in this because they're keeping their damn mouths shut. They know what's going on. I don't know where they think they're going to go.
The media is more than happy to do their part and keep it quiet.
We have issues, lots and lots of issues. What's new on the CJD? Excuse me, the mad cow, TSE, BSE, CJD, VCJD, NVCJD, Alzheimer's, ALS, amyloid plaque front.
I continue to see reports a couple times a week of newly diagnosed cases of what appears to be rapid onset CJD. But we have to remember that CJD normally appears Well, when it does appear, it's a rapid decline. 6 weeks sometimes, maybe less.
By the time it's diagnosed, you mean? That's what you're saying. Yeah?
Well, this whole disease process takes 10 years, maybe more,
right,
to progress. But when it finally does show its symptoms, it's, you know, quite a bit of damage has been done, and people are not long for this earth. They decline very quickly once the symptoms appear. But there does seem to be, well, there is a lot of chatter in one of these groups about how their loved ones began manifesting the symptoms shortly after receiving the injection. It's hard to know. I mean, we have the one study from France that Luc Montagnier published before he died, that looked at, what was it, 16 cases?
I believe you're right.
Of CJD following close proximity to the injections. I mean, these people all died within a few months. They've had symptoms within 30 days, sometimes as little as one day, but all were dead within, I'm going to say, 3 months.
Luke was looking in areas that he shouldn't maybe have looked. I'm not saying he was necessarily murdered. He was sick. But they didn't want him to do this. It's pretty obvious.
Well, he's not the only one was referenced in that paper, that published that paper. There was a very prominent neurologist, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, though, that was the lead author. He will probably continue this work unless they don't want him to, essentially. But, you know, it's hard to gather data when everything's being lied about. So we may never get to the bottom of this, the way this information is being suppressed.
Who's telling the truth anymore?
They don't want autopsies to be performed on these people.
Not a chance.
They
fought in Europe before they got... What was it? They ended up with 70 over there, finally? It took them a long, long time to get that many? I think
it was
70.
Yeah, that was Dr. Arne Burkhardt.
Yeah.
But it sounded like, he had to jump through hoops to get these bodies and somehow manage to do it. But the evidence he turned up was really damning as to the damage these injections are doing to people. I mean, their organs are just rife with these spike proteins and antibody complexes that just destroy the tissues.
Okay. What we can do is suggest the obvious to all of you, and that is to clean up your diet, stay away from needles, never have another needle, never. Don't get tested, and if you have been shot up or you have been tested, you have to deal with it. Do your best. Just understand that there are things you can take that can potentially delay some of these things. I don't know of any way to remediate all of it, except take care of your body to the best you can. You've really stepped into it. All of you who have taken that shot, and you didn't know, you are the victims of one of the most evil things I've ever seen or imagined that's going on this planet. It's bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you didn't get to hear, just for fun, to let you know what Schwab and his friends think of all of us. Did you? And I hope most of you got a chance to hear Yuval Noah Harari, what to do, asking the question and answering it, what to do with all these useless people. Useless people. Here's Klaus Schwab's guru. I'm going to play this because it's really important. And if any of you missed it, even if you heard it, I want you to hear it again. This is Harari answering his own question, what to do with all these useless people. Sound like useless eaters? You bet it does. It's exactly what it sounds like.
Finding it first.
So let me get this queued up. 3, 2, 1, and here we go.
Again, I think that the biggest question in maybe in economics and politics of the coming decades will be what to do with all these useless people. The problem is more boredom and how what to do with them and how will they find some sense of meaning in life when they are basically meaningless, worthless. My best guess at present is a combination of drugs and computer games.
I hope you heard that. Really, I'm going to play that again. You have to understand that this is Schwab's guru, okay? He's the poet laureate of, he's Jewish, and of the controllers. And let's see if I can get this to cue. I don't know if I can, but...
And how what to do with them, and how will they find some sense of meaning in life when they are basically meaningless, worthless?
They're basically, you and I, we are basically meaningless, comma, worthless.
Best guess at present is a combination of drugs and computer games as a solution for more. It's already happening. In under different titles, different headings, you see more and more people spending more and more time or solving their inner problems with drugs and computer games, both legal drugs and illegal drugs. If you look at Japan today, and Japan is maybe 20 years ahead of the world in everything, and you see all these new social phenomenon of people having relationships with virtual spouses, and you have people who never leave the house and just live through computers. I think once you're superfluous, you don't have power. Again, we're used to the age of the masses of the 19th and 20th century, where we saw all these successful, massive uprisings, revolutions, revolts. So we are used to thinking about the masses as powerful. But this is basically a 19th century and 20th century phenomenon. I don't think that the masses, even if they somehow organize themselves, stand much of a chance. We are not in Russia of 1917 or in 19th century Europe.
So what he's saying is, forget about it. Even if you went out in the streets, you wouldn't have much of a chance. And he's right. He's not joking. There's no overstatement there. I think he's perhaps even understating things. So that's Yuval Harari. Let's listen to one more. This is too good. I mean, this is them telling us what our future is.
What we're talking about now is like a second industrial revolution, but the product this time will not be textiles or machines or vehicles or even weapons. The product this time will be humans themselves. We are basically learning to produce bodies and minds. Bodies and minds are going to be, I think, the two main products of the next wave of all these changes. That is optional. Again, and if you think about it from the viewpoint of the poor, it looks terrible because throughout history, death was the great equalizer. The big consolation of the poor throughout history was that, okay, these rich people, they have it good, but they're going to die just like me. But think about a world, say, 50 years, 100 years, where the poor people continue to die, but the rich people, in addition to all the other things they get, they also get exemption from death. Once you really solve the problem like direct brain-computer interface, when brains and computers can interact directly, for example, just one example, that's it. That's the end of history. That's the end of biology as we know it. Nobody has a clue what will happen once you solve this. If life can basically break out of the organic realm into the vastness of the inorganic realm and you cannot even begin to imagine what the consequences will be, because our imagination at present is organic. So it's...
So he's talking about things like Musk's Neuralink, all right? Once the mind melds with the computer, it's all over. All bets are off. So that's our future as they envision it, and that's what they're moving toward. And what are we going to do about it? There'll be little groups of people living here and there that'll try and preserve the old ways of thinking and value systems and all that. But generally speaking, the larger urban areas where people are confined or easily controlled, it's over for them. They don't have a chance, really.
I can think of many people, most of them younger, that see no problem with what's being proposed. No problem.
Sad,
and I almost wonder
say,
if we're
right.
diverging into two different races, two different species at this point.
Well, that's what they wanted. They've split off the younger Gen X, Gen Z. They're going on one track. And all the rest of it is through inertia, slowing down and moving the other way, not taking that fast track of drugs and computer games and whatever else they're going to bait them with. Those whom they allow to live, that is. You got to remember,
right.
A lot of young people have been shut up. And now they have agreed, Pfizer has gotten permission to give its three of its kill shots to children under the age of 5. Three. They just got approval.
That's absolutely criminal. Absolutely criminal.
Words don't even do it. It's beyond criminal. It's anti-life. It's not what we think of as living, existing, enjoying, creating. These people are going to be automatons. That's all. And you're right. A lot of them have no idea. They have nothing to predicate what used to be vis-a-vis what they're facing. So they take what's coming. It sounds exciting to them. Oh, I won't own anything. I won't have a mortgage. So I'll be happy. No problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Washington State's largest TB outbreak in decades was being misdiagnosed as COVID. Okay? So this, again, is the bedrock upon which you're going to see many, many different types of diseases, some which don't even have names, suddenly appearing simultaneously in various locations, because you have people en masse with no immune system left. So what happens? They're the perfect walking petri dish and walking bioweapon to spread whatever it is they're infested with to anyone nearby who might have also been shot up and who has AIDS also, no immune system.
I almost think that might have been the purpose of this injection, to destroy people's immune systems so that whatever they come across at any given time, they're fertile ground for it and can spread it to others.
When, if I might, for both of us, urge all of you to get an N95 mask, keep it in the car. If you go into a store, wear it. There's still a lot of people with masks on, and I think they get it. And if nothing else, you who are unvaxxed, I'm not talking just about you, to protect you. That's very, very important. It's essential. But we have to think of those who have been vaxxed, who have an ever-diminishing, if not gone, immune system. They have AIDS, and you might effectively be able to carry the common cold without manifesting it, right? My little sniffle. But if they get it, they could die. because they've got no way to fight it off.
Not pretty.
No. No, it isn't. We really appreciate you, all of you, and we're trying to help to the best of our ability, and we will be back on Friday again, and we will keep at it. So thank you, Erica. Take care. Talk soon.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And good night, everyone, indeed. We'll be back tomorrow night in 21 hours. Talk to you then.